You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God.
Good morning, and welcome to Unity of Tustin. My name is Elena Sternlicht, and I just graduated from the YOU program here at Unity, and I'm so grateful to be here with you all this morning. Happy Labor Day weekend! Hopefully, most of you have tomorrow off from work and can spend the day with your families and friends or just enjoying a day of rest and renewal. I would like to open us this morning with a word of prayer. So I invite you to close your outer eyes and take a deep centering breath, breathing into your heart space. With every breath, allow your body to relax and sink into the seat beneath you. Allow your thoughts to settle and quiet, turning your attention to the air moving in and out of your nose. Divine Spirit, Mother, Father, God, Essence of Love, as we join together this morning, we turn our attention towards the feeling of love in our hearts and flowing all around us. We breathe into the knowing that all is well. We affirm that no matter how our outer circumstances appear, whether they be chaotic or difficult or joyful and exciting, in prayer we turn to the knowingness that with divine love at work always, and divine order constantly unfolding, all is always well. I am well. We hold the space for wholeness and goodness to take place throughout this service, throughout the rest of our day and week ahead. We are so grateful to have this sacred space to come home to every Sunday, to share in joys and sorrows with a community based in love and connection and support. For this day and all the blessings that await, we are so grateful. Amen.
Now, today's guest speaker.
Well, before we get started today, could I just see with a show of hands, how many of you would like to have perfect health, where every cell in your body is filled with healed light? Yeah? Would anybody like to have harmonious relationships with family, friends, coworkers, your community? Okay? Would anybody like to have more money and the freedom to do whatever you want whenever you want? Okay? Excellent. I'm in the right place. I'm so happy to be here. Yeah, over 35 years ago, my mother, who is a devout Catholic, who had converted from Seventh-day Adventist, gave me my first metaphysical book, published in 1925, called The Game of Life and How to Play It. Florence Scovel Shinn wrote that book, and for some reason, my mother knew that her 10th child needed to have this book. So I took it, it's a very tiny little book, and I took it off with me to college and was shocked. Oh my God, all I had to do was follow these spiritual principles and I could essentially manifest any life that I wanted to create? Are you kidding me? So I did it, young, impressionable teenager I was. I graduated from college in 3 years with honors while growing a company with 250 employees. It was amazing. It was so easy. It was miraculous. These principles work. The principles that are taught in churches and centers like this one work. But somehow we forget to remember that they work. Now, I continued to follow wherever my mother and my sister went for church, but I still had this daily practice, this metaphysical, spiritual, new thought teaching that I used every single day in all areas of my life. And my sister ended up at a Unity church in Seattle, and then she ended up at a Center for Spiritual Living and decided to become a reverend. And being the wonderful younger sister that I am, I just followed her wherever she went, but still had my own practice. While I was attending and tithing to Center for Spiritual Living in Seattle, the spiritual leadership asked me what I was doing to be so successful, because they didn't have tithers at my level. And if you guys want to increase your income, just start tithing. And I'm sure there's lots of teachers that can teach you all about that here, but truly, it's the greatest prosperity tool ever. But back to my story. I have the spiritual leadership asking me, what are you doing to make you so successful? We don't have this happen all the time. And honestly, I thought it was a trick question. So I gingerly replied, well, I'm doing what you teach here. Isn't that right? And they said, no, we know that, but tell us specifically. And I said, oh, well, you see, I'm a self-proclaimed efficiency expert. All that means is I hate to waste time. I hate it. I have this knack of taking complicated ideas, and I've had several technology companies, and I take complicated ideas and boil them down into really easy to understand and apply principles. I've trained hundreds of salespeople how to be better salespeople, customer service people how to do their job in serving their customers better, executives to grow their businesses and their profits. So I take these ideas and boil them down into something simple, and so I explained to the leadership what I was doing to apply these spiritual principles in a successful manner. And they asked me to teach it. So I did that, and after about the 500th person had gone through the workshop with the same kind of success that you've had, I was asked to write a book, and I'm happy to say it did come out. And what was interesting about this book is it made it to Amazon's bestseller list, number two position in personal finance. It's not a personal finance book. It's a spiritual book. But all that tells me is that the world, and especially business, is waking up that we need to have more of these truth principles operating as purpose in our businesses to make the world a better place. So I'm grateful to be guided by Spirit to do that little small slice of what I do. Today, my talk title is Partnering with Your Chief Spiritual Officer for Success and Freedom. And you're probably wondering, what in the world is a CSO? Well, for me, it's that characteristic of Spirit that is the ultimate advisor who guides and directs me to take steps to achieve my goals, and to keep me safe. I've used in my businesses, I've surrounded myself with people whose advice I value. As a CEO, I have a chief financial officer that advises us on the health financially for our company. A chief information officer that describes the kinds of technology our company needs and what we need to put into our products to share with our customers. A chief operations officer, a chief marketing officer, and I decided that God knew more than any of these people about everything. So I gave God a title, the chief spiritual officer, or CSO for short. And I went one step further and I placed the CSO at the top of my org chart so that I, as the CEO, reported to it. You can imagine what my employees said. Who's the CSO? Is it a man? Is it a woman? Do we ever get to meet them? And my response was simply this. The CSO is a guiding principle. You see, we are a miracle-making company. We have things happen that are beyond our rational mind. We have creativity and innovation and solutions that allow us to compete with three Fortune 20 companies, to become market share leader in what we do, to serve our customers and our coworkers and our suppliers and vendors in our world in an even greater way. And the reason that we can do that is because our CSO is going to give us advice. So when you have a problem, when you have an issue, when something is stumping you, just simply say, this is what I would like the outcome to be. And be grateful for it in advance. Doesn't that sound like Jesus saying, see the harvest before the seeds are even planted? Yeah. So these principles, I, in a nice way, taught my employees to focus on what they wanted as the outcome and be grateful for that. And then allow spiritual intuition and innovation and creativity to flow in and through them. And to let me know how it was going for them. I got text messages, emails, phone calls every single day. Oh my gosh, the CSO did this. Oh my gosh, I had this really pissed off customer and the CSO did this. This was amazing. And sure enough, we did meet our goals and objectives to becoming market share leader in our space. The CSO, I am confident, is responsible for my success in business. But the CSO has also helped me in other areas of my life as well. In 1994, the CSO actually saved my life. I was in a business meeting, and I had this flash, this thought of my sister's face in my mind's eye. How many of you have ever had a thought fly into your head without warning? Yeah, it just flies in. It's very strong. And I knew, having practiced this a while, that meant I needed to contact my sister. So I finished with my business appointment, and I stopped by her office, and she was so happy to see me. She had a computer problem that I could fix for free. So I'm sitting there at her desk working on her computer problem, and she notices this little tiny dot, tiny, tiny dot on the outside of my right leg. And she asked me what that was. I said, well, you heard in the introduction I'm from Hawaii, and I'm fair. I have a lot of freckles. So I told her it was a freckle. This teeny, teeny, teeny little tiny thing. She said she didn't feel that it was a freckle and asked me to see her dermatologist to have it looked at. Well, I was just about to dismiss her fear and my gut hurt. How many of you have ever had your gut hurt? Feel a sensation in your stomach? Yeah. Well, I knew, again, because I'd been practicing this a while, that meant that I needed to heed her advice. So I just made the appointment. I went to the appointment, and the doctor said, "Nay, it's nothing. It can't possibly be anything. It's too small. Go home, honey. Don't worry." Now, I was raised as the last of 10 children, and my father was a surgeon. And our father drilled into each of his children just how important doctors were. In fact, my dad put himself pretty much on the same level as God. And we were told never to question a doctor's advice. They knew more than we did. They went to school to learn. We didn't know anything. And doctor's advice should always be taken. And I was just about to take the doctor's advice and go home, and my gut hurt again. So I'm up against this belief, and I had to show courage because guess what? God's always right. So I said, "Doctor, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but you got to cut that off." I came back a week later to a diagnosis of cancer. I had malignant melanoma, Clark's level 3. CSO saved my life. Now, how many of you know the power of God operating in health? You know people. You maybe have experienced healing yourself, or maybe you've read stories about people having miraculous or unusual healing that cannot be explained rationally. How many of you know that? Yeah, I can know for you that you are whole and complete. Every cell in your body is filled with the perfect light. All systems operate as they were divinely designed in the beginning and always will. I can know that for you. We're taught in churches and centers to know that for each other and for ourselves. We have that one down. But why don't we have the same level of confidence and faith for our finances, our relationships, peace and harmony in our world, our recreation, the use of our skills and talents in remarkable and fulfilling and satisfying ways to bless others and be blessed? There are a lot of people that do have that confidence. They use spiritual intuition and messaging from spirit in ways to help them to be successful. We can do this too. How many of you know the name Bill Gates? Okay. He lives up in my neck of the woods. And depending upon what day it is, it's either him or Jeff Bezos of Amazon that are one and two in terms of wealthiest men in the world. They both live up there. There must be something in the water. But Bill Gates said, often you have to rely on intuition. And Steve Jobs of Apple said, you actually have to have courage to follow your heart and intuition. Kind of like going up against that belief, that strong belief about doctors always being right. That courage. And Oprah Winfrey, one of the greatest influential women of our time, has said that she has listened to that still small voice of intuition her whole life. And the only time she's made mistakes, when she didn't listen. So if Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Oprah Winfrey, Albert Einstein, Thomas Edison, Dr. Wayne Dyer, and hundreds of other people say that they rely on spiritual intuition as a tool for success, why aren't we all using it? Well, I think it's because most of us aren't taught to. And thank God there are Unity churches and New Thought centers around the world that teach these principles. But for most of society, they're not taught it. In fact, when you have a question about anything, what do?
Google it.
You Google it. You gather as much information as you possibly can. You analyze it, measure it, evaluate it. You talk to subject matter experts about it. Talk to your friends about it. And then, not only do you get all of this information, then you think about possible steps that you could take regarding that situation, and you go one step further. You think about possible outcomes that could come from taking those steps. Am I right? Yes. And if you don't like any of the possible outcomes, what do? Okay. Nothing. You do nothing. You disregard that as some silly thought or some weird feeling in your gut, and you do nothing. Well, you are not allowed to do nothing anymore. You know, this is not a new human condition. This has been going on for years. Albert Einstein actually referred to it when he said that we all have this intuitive mind that's a sacred gift. And we have this rational mind that's a faithful servant. It'll do whatever we tell it to do. But somehow we've created a society that honors this servant, this rational mind, and has completely forgotten the gift. Well, I'm here today to help you to remember what you already know. And that is that this spiritual gift, this divine intelligence, is available for each and every one of us whenever we want to use it. It's always available. And because I am, you know, one of those self-proclaimed efficiency experts, I've even made it really easy for you to have notes. I've created them for you. So you should have gotten one of these when you walked in. I'm just going to share three easy-to-remember points. If you don't have one, raise your hand, and one will be brought to you. So the first point is to recognize that spirit, God, divine intelligence, the source of your intuition, wants to help you to achieve all that you desire, require, and more, and to keep you safe. But it stands to reason that you actually have to have a goal or a desire, right? And it has to be worded in such a way to enable your intuition and your subconscious to get on board to help you notice possibilities to achieve it, okay? And let me give you an example of what I mean by worded correctly. How many of you have ever had the goal, wait, let me rephrase that. How many of you know somebody who's ever had the goal, I want to lose 10 pounds? Well, let's just think about that goal for a minute. I want to lose 10 pounds. The goal is to be wanting to lose 10 pounds. If the goal is to be wanting to lose, haven't they already achieved it? Aren't they already wanting to lose? Why do you need God's help with that? So, just as Jesus said, see the harvest before it's planted, count on it, understand it. Same thing we do in business. We have projections that show what our business is going to look like in the future as a successful business. See the harvest before it's planted and talk about that with gratitude. So that goal for weight loss should be that I'm already there. I am so grateful that I am physically fit, trim, toned, energetic, in a healthy, pain-free body that's easily able to go on hikes and walks with my family and friends, and we have a great time. And I'm eternally youthful and increasingly more beautiful. Or whatever your goal happens to be. But you see the difference? That's the way your goals should be worded, as though they're already complete. That will enable intuition and your subconscious to show up and point out possibilities. The second point is that you can partner with this ultimate advisor characteristic of spirit. And you both are going to have clear roles and responsibilities that you follow in this partnership, right? I find that it's helpful to give that characteristic of spirit a name. And I've chosen the CSO, or Chief Spiritual Officer. And please let me tell you, this is not condoning or supporting or even talking about separation. We are all one. I believe that it is all one. But we do have different names for different characteristics of God, don't we? We call it divine intelligence, love, beauty, power, truth, source. Yeah. So pick a name that represents the ultimate advisor characteristic of spirit and write that down. In my workshops, and we're going to have one this afternoon, some people choose God, Holy Spirit, divine intelligence, infinite, all-knowing power of the universe. I even had one guy choose Fred. I don't know why, but apparently Fred represents the ultimate advisor characteristic of spirit. But what that will do is placate your rational mind that keeps trying to interfere. Now, in this partnership, you have different roles and responsibilities that you'll follow. How many of you have ever worked for a living? Okay. So I want you to, I know that your company hired you or you started your own company because you have unique skills and talents that are of great value to the organization that you're supporting. Imagine for a moment that you walk across the company to an area where you know nothing about and you go into somebody's office and you sit down and you start trying to do their job for them. How successful do you think you'll be? Not very, right? So stop trying to do God's job. Your job is to figure out what it is that you want. Describe it with gratitude as though it's already complete. God's job is to create the path for you to get there and to give you one step to take at a time along that path to achieve the goal. You get to either take a step, like that thought of my sister's face in my mind's eye that led me to stop by her office. You get to take the step, or if you're unclear, you feel scared, you're unsure, is that a random thought or is that really God? I don't know. Then you just ask for another lead, okay? Now, I want you all to look straight out. tilt your head just slightly up. Say, God, I need another lead. I keep trying to think of ways to make it more complicated than that. Because I think you'll do it if it's more complicated, but it's not. It's not. That's all you have to do. And so often our rational mind is going to try and interfere because it wants us to know the outcome. Let me give you an example of how this works. In my last company, I had a goal. We were, you know, young startup and, you know, cash is king and we've got projections and we want to grow our company, add more employees, add more customers. So my goal was to have a minimum or more of $400,000 by a particular period of time to fund our growth. And that's what I was meeting with my CSO every morning about, including many other things. I travel about 150 to 200,000 miles a year, and I have a routine. I get off the plane, I get my bag, I get my rental car, I go to the hotel. I drop everything off, and then I get back in the car and drive to the closest grocery store to pick up protein shakes and water and supplies that I need for my stay. I found myself in Cleveland, in the car, ready to go to a grocery store that I knew was 5 minutes away. I've been there before. And I have this very strong thought of a grocery store that's 15 minutes away. That didn't make any sense. And my rational mind wanted to remind me of that. Hello, May, what are you thinking? It's 9 o'clock at night here in Cleveland. You shouldn't be driving across town at this hour, young lady. And let me remind you that your appointment is at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. That's 5 o'clock in the morning Seattle time. If you waste time tonight driving across town, you're going to be too tired for your appointment. You just need to go to the closest grocery store, get what you need, and go to bed. How many of you can identify with that? Yeah, we do it to ourselves all the time. Our rational mind wants to make sense of things. So you figuratively stomp your foot and say, CSO, I need another lead. That quiets your rational mind. And now your intuitive mind has a say. Well, it's true. It's 9 o'clock at night, but it's only 6 o'clock in Seattle. It's too early for you to go to sleep anyway. And who knows, maybe everything you want will be on sale. Just make the drive. So I did. As I'm walking into the grocery store, who should be walking out at exactly the same time? But a gentleman that represented a very large potential customer who I had met 6 months before at a trade show, who was not returning any of my phone calls or emails for an appointment. Hi. Here we are, face to face. Well, we strike up this conversation, and it's really nice, and he asks about the growth of our company and who I'm in town to see. And before the end of the conversation, he says it's okay to come and make a presentation to his team while I'm in town. Well, that led to another presentation and another, and eventually a contract worth over $500,000 in the time frame that I wanted. Now, how many of you went to the same school that I did, where you create a goal and then you figure out every little step that it takes to get there? Okay? Okay, I'm talking to you now. How many would say, step one, drive across town at 9 o'clock at night in Cleveland? No. This is why there are so many stories in the Bible about Red Seas parting, food falling from heaven, water coming out of rocks, and other extraordinary miracles. Because this is the way we're supposed to live our lives. We're supposed to live outside of the limitations of this rational mind. We're supposed to enable spiritual intuition to guide us and direct us as long as we're doing our job in the relationship. Now, the third and final point that I want to make is that it is a relationship. And you have to set aside time every single day to have a goal planning meeting. To have a goal planning meeting with your CSO. And you should be having goals and desires in all areas of your life. My definition for wealth is to be whole and complete, lacking nothing in every area of your life. That not only is your finances, but it's your health, your relationships, your use of skills and talents in remarkable and wonderful ways, your recreation, and your spiritual connection. So every day you need to be having a meeting with your CSO. And I do outline, I don't have enough time to go over that meeting format with you, but I hope you'll join us in the workshop this afternoon. Everybody gets a 28-page workbook, and we get to actually practice how to do this so you can get a really good start tomorrow morning. But you meet every day because that's going to build up your level of confidence and familiarity and trust in your partnership. How many of you have ever heard the phone ring and you knew who it was? Don't you?
How about before the phone
ring? I love that. Most of the time when you hear the phone ring and you know who it is, it's because you know that person well. And I believe we're all connected and we're connected to spirit. And as we build up that relationship and that familiarity and trust, we're going to be having to ask fewer and fewer times for additional leads. We're just going to recognize how spirit speaks to us. And life does become this wonderful life of miracles, of extraordinary events happening all the time. So in closing, what I'd love for us to do is to read that closing prayer on the bottom of your sheet. Let's read that together. This is something from Ernest Holmes, a contemporary of Charles Fillmore's book, Creative Ideas. I know that I am in partnership with the infinite. I identify myself with this partnership, knowing that it always leads to success. I accept that the action of infinite intelligence is back of everything. It is always manifesting itself, and it now does so through the thought pattern of success I am establishing for myself. Conditions and situations about me now start to correspond to my new ideas about them. The invisible presence and power indwelling and surrounding me, which is forever making manifest my thought, now creates for me the success with which I have identified my thought. Emma Curtis Hopkins was a teacher of the Fillmores and also Ernest Holmes. And she said that there is a good for you, and you ought to have it. And I would add that you should have it now. Thank you very much.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.